Hello, I'm Richard Adie. Welcome to The Buzz. Remember the old joke about asking the children to program the video because it's too complicated for adults? Well, videos have become easier, but nearly everything else has become more complex, which leaves a lot of us completely clueless when it comes to modern technology. You'd think we wouldn't buy it, wouldn't you? But we do. We're victims of what Beverly Davis from Purdue University calls technoism, a suppressed scepticism and blind compliance when it comes to technology.
Well, we see it in so many different areas of our life. Let's take somebody in the workplace. They start a new position in an organization. They give them the cell phone, the beeper, the BlackBerry, the laptop, the two-way pager. And this person now has this image of importance. But what really this does is puts them on call 24/7 in the workplace. And we wouldn't dare question that as we are on call on all of our free time, weekends. Recently, they did a survey of American demographics. 69% of people surveyed stay in touch with the office, even when they're on holiday. So we blindly comply because it's something that we feel like we need to do if we want to stay on the fast track at work. And we suppress any skepticism because we would be labeled old-fashioned and behind the times. That's just one example. I have an example of my own that really started a lot of this. I, as an educator, felt that I was behind the times. I was actually $3,000 worth of technoism victim here because I felt that my classroom was behind the times and there was something wrong with me because I would actually like my class to be discussion-based and active. And I thought I needed a projector so I could display computer graphics in PowerPoint. And the budget didn't allow it, so I went out and purchased this projector. And as the semester progressed, I felt that the students became more passive and they became more mesmerized. Now, of course, I was proud of all my computer the graphics I had. And, you know, I just felt really in the loop and really on top of things here. But then about 2 months down the road, I realized that the more and more they became mesmerized and passive, the more I relied on it. And it had become a completely different classroom environment than I really desired.
Actually, you're saying this thing mesmerized your students, this projector. I've got a three-year-old. I'd love something that would mesmerize him, make him passive. So you were a victim. This is what started you off on this research.
Absolutely. I'd see this in the workplace. I recently opened up a course catalog from another institution, and they had a course, public speaking online. And I thought to myself, this is technoism because we've crossed the line here. You know, there's that pressure to put everything online, and we've gone so far to cross the line and put courses like public speaking online.
Well, at least it seems to me, although you were the victim when you bought this projector, you did use it. Now, I reckon it would be worse if you felt you had to buy something, but then you didn't use it, or you only used a little bit of it because you didn't understand it.
Well, yes, I bought an early digital camera, never really learned how to use it. The pictures were terrible, and I didn't like the quality. And as time went on, the printers got better and the cameras got better, but that camera is still sitting in a box in my closet. And what did I do? I'm a victim of technoism. I went out and bought more. Of course, the marketers are dancing with glee because we keep buying these products.
I have to admit, about 10 years ago, in 1994, I bought a Palm Top computer made by a company called Sign, British company. I've still got this thing. It's very out of date, but I only use, I think, maybe 5% of its capacity. You can write programs on this thing, and I use it as a contact book, and what else? Oh, yeah, it's got a diary on it. It's got a load of things on it, and I use two things.
Yes, exactly. They're complicated. I mean, when you think about it, we're surrounded by gizmo confusion. I mean, you have so many features. There's no way you can ever understand all the features on some of these products. And we never really use it to its fullest extent. And that's one of the questions on this assessment that I put out.
Yeah, I've seen this, actually. This is what it asks people about their last five technology purchases. Is that the one?
Yes, it's really just a fun assessment. And yes, this can be a serious problem in some cases, but it's just a fun way to look at this. It may say you use technology just so everyone else can see you and you display a sense of image of importance.
This is the classic, I'm on the train and I'm going to use my mobile phone to tell you that I'm on the train or I'm running 1 minute late.
Exactly. Phone. That's the best time to see this. I travel often and I'm at the airport and listen to these people. I was just listening to a lady the other day, probably at least four phone calls, and she talked very loudly, and just pacing around so everybody could see her, telling everybody, oh, how tired she was and how busy she was and how she traveled. And I just wanted, after the fourth call, wanted to say, well, maybe if you'd stop calling people and telling them how tired you are, you might get a little rest. She had this image of importance, you know, pacing around the airport, and that's where you see a lot of these victims of technoism.
I think you should have done, Beverly. Make an intervention.
I don't know what that would be yet. That's the next area of research.
How we communicate seems to me must be another whole area. I mean, ringing people when you know they're not there because you want to get their voicemail or their answer phone.
Oh, absolutely. And that's also another thing we look at because, let's face it, we all do that. We call a voicemail and we just pray, oh, let me get the voicemail. I don't have time to talk to this person right now. But we just rely on all this. And, you know, email really gives us this false sense of connection because we're still not connecting with people in person.
This does sound all very hollow. I'm interested whether you have any idea of what motivates us to behave in this way.
Let's look at one thing, the marketers. The typical marketing cycle in the past has always been that you had the early adopters and the later adopters. And later adopters were mostly the mainstream. Wait until it's been proven, till the quality has improved, price has gone down. But we're motivated to keep up. We feel like technology has made our lives so complex and time is moving so fast, and we're always warned that we're going to fall behind if we don't keep up with this. And we just have this fear of falling behind. So now even the marketing cycle has been disrupted. People that usually waited are jumping on board and they're in line with the early adopters and they keep buying and buying and purchasing all the techno toys, I guess, because we have this illusion of control, if you will. We feel like the more we buy, the more we're going to have control over our lives. And really, when you think about it, technology hasn't delivered the original intention of ease of life, the promises.
It's actually the other way around, isn't it? The more you buy, the more you feel that you're not in control, so you buy more in order to try and get up, make more time, and actually you're getting less and less and less.
That's right. Every time we buy a technological tool, we're seeking simplicity, but what it's doing is we're purchasing complexity, and we keep purchasing more complexity in an attempt to gain control of our chaotic life, and we never reach that level of simplicity.
Well, what can people do? How do we end this madness?
Well, in every case, we assess, whether it be at the individual level, the organizational level, the institutional level. Individually, people just need to lessen their dependence. And as far as organizationally, you know, organizations do this as well. We see the organizations purchasing all the latest and the greatest equipment. And they found that it wasn't fitting in with their system, and the employees didn't know how to operate the machinery, and it just sat there idle. So in organizationally, you know, you have to evaluate the systemic impacts of the technology and evaluate the motive behind why you're doing it. Is it just to keep up? I mean, is it going to meet our needs in this organization?
It can't all be just technoism. I'm thinking, I guess, of the success of the mobile phone. It's been the most spectacularly successful piece of consumer technology. There's a lot of utility in it. We get a lot out of it.
When we look at assessment, it's about evaluating the positives and the negatives of technology. I mean, who could live without these things now? I certainly couldn't.
Look, I'm here to tell you, I present a program about technology on radio, and I do not have a mobile phone. But I keep thinking how much more convenient it would be if I had one. I don't know if I'm starting down a slippery slope here, Beverly.
Well, I'm really surprised about that. I'd like to know how many of you there are out there, because I don't think there's too many that don't have at least a cell phone, maybe not the picture phone.
Nearly everyone I know has a mobile, but I don't have one. It's true. Beverly Davis is at the School of Technology at Purdue University in Indiana. Remember the website, it's at abc.net.au/rn. Then click on the Buzz.